to a scripture, Genesis 28, verse 11. Genesis, the 20th chapter, and verse 11. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. I want you to underline that word, the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place and put them for his pillow and lay down in that place to sleep. Look at another scripture in Genesis chapter 32. And verses 24 to 31, but I'm just reading the 31st verse. And he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tonight, I want to speak about these two words, sunset and sunrise. Amen. Praise the Lord. In the book of Genesis, the first chapter, when God created the first day, the Bible says it was from evening unto morning. We call something the first day from morning to evening, but in God's calendar, when you study scriptures, the first day was from evening to morning. When you look at the scriptures, you will find that Jesus Christ himself is called the Son of Righteousness. And how many of you want him to rise over your life tonight? Amen. We find in the scripture there were people upon whose life the sun set, and there were people upon whom the sun arose. In 2 Chronicles, the 18th chapter, verse 34, 2 Chronicles, the 18th chapter, and verse 34, I believe that there is going to be a sunrise upon your life. Amen. 2 Chronicles, chapter 18 and verse 34.
The battle increased that day, and the king of Israel propped himself up in the chariot facing the Syrians until evening. And about the time of sunset, he died.
King Ahab, the king of Israel, the Bible says the sun set upon his life and he died. He never saw a sunrise. He died because the sun had set upon his life. Now, why did the sun set upon his life? When you study scriptures, he was one king who was called the most wicked of all kings. He actually killed a man called Naboth to take his vineyard. Whenever somebody tries to do something against God's vineyard, let me tell you, the light that is shining upon you will always grow dim. No matter how much you try, whenever somebody tries to come against the child of God or against the body of Christ, the light that they had, maybe of the liberty of the gospel or of the person of Jesus Christ or of the call of God in their lives or the passion that they had to worship the Lord or something that they had that was shining ever bright for the glory of God begins to grow dim and begins to die anytime when somebody rises against the body of Christ. We are not people like that. Look at somebody and say, we are not people like that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We want to see the body of Jesus Christ built. Amen. Hallelujah. You remember in the brightness of the day when Saul was coming to kill the children of Israel, the people of God in the New Testament, the light of God shined upon him. He fell down and he became blind. He lost his sight. Suddenly everything was dark around him. And the Lord asked, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Why are you doing this against the church? My brother, my sister, I have looked over 20 years of ministry. I've seen some people, as the years go by, their love for Jesus increases. The light in them of the revelation of God's word begins to increase. The calling of God upon their lives begin to increase. The anointing begins to thicken up as the years go by in some people's life. And I've seen some people's life, the glory of God diminishing, the light diminishing, the ones, the hope that they had in Jesus diminishing. Why? Because most of the time, they would have either spoken something against the servant of God or done something against the body of Christ and something to destroy the unity of a church. And whenever somebody does that, I'm not saying they lose their salvation, but what I'm saying is the light in them begins to grow dim. The sun begins to set. But tonight, we are taking victory over every sunset, and we're going to see a sunrise over our life in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, years back, I met Pastor Michael. Years back. And over here, something that I've seen in him is that the light keeps shining brighter and brighter. He inspired me 20 years back to step out for Jesus, to take up the cross and follow Jesus. And over years, you look at so many, I might have seen so many servants of God over years. But you look at a certain man who suddenly says, okay, he's been following the Jesus faithfully over the years. Hallelujah, he's been following the Lord. He's out there in the mission field declaring the gospel and trying to obey the Lord and do all that he can for Jesus. My brother, my sister, we want to see a sunrise in our life. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. John chapter 13, verse 30. John chapter 13, verse 30.
Having received the piece of bread, he then went out immediately, and it was night.
It is speaking about the man called Judas. The Bible says he took the piece of bread and he went out, and it was night. Years back, I heard a talk on Judas by Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen. And even now, that word, when I hear it or when I read it, it does something in me. He said, it is always night when you leave Jesus Christ. When somebody stops following Jesus, and when you go your own way, it's always night. He never saw a sunrise again. The sun literally set upon him because he left Jesus. My brother, in the new covenant, we have a promise that God has promised us, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. When he is with you, hold his hand, walk with him. Amen. No matter what your weakness is, no matter how many times you struggle, doesn't matter how many times you trip over and fall, get up, hold on to the hand of Jesus Christ and continue to walk, and the sun will keep shining upon you. Amen. But tonight's message is on this person called Jacob. The first scripture that we read, the sun set upon Jacob. And in a way we can say, for 20 years he walked in darkness. For 20 years. Why did the sun set upon Jacob? You will find in the preceding chapters, Jacob, that very name means deceiver. He deceived his brother.
Malayala vaki paranja brother oru theeta pandara varu.
Esau, his brother, had two wives and both of them could not cook well. And Jacob saw that his brother had an appetite. When he was hungry, he literally lost it. He was led by his appetites. And so, one day when this man Esau came, Jacob was making a soup. In Malayalam it says paisam. And this guy's mouth began to water. And he said, can I have some? Jacob said, you can have the whole thing, but give me the birthright, the blessing of the firstborn. I want to have it. See, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, to keep a knife to your appetite. And it doesn't necessarily have to be food. Our body has got its own set of appetites. It's got an appetite for recognition. It's got an appetite for a name. It's got an appetite for sex. It's got an appetite for anything. I mean, different kinds of appetites your body has. And you need to learn in your life to keep a knife to the appetites. Because every time you let your appetites run wild, you will find there is a dimness that comes into your spirit man. The joy that you once had in the Lord is not there. The peace that you once enjoyed, you're not able to experience it. The enthusiasm that you had for the Lord seems to be losing its edge. Praise the Lord. Are you still with me tonight? Amen. So you need to learn to keep a knife to your appetite. Now Esau didn't do it. Jacob deceived his father. He went forth dressed like his brother. He said, "Father, bless me." His father was nearly blind. He said, "I am Esau, your son." He acted as somebody else. He literally dressed himself as his brother and deceived his old father. And you will find the scripture that you read, from that point of his life, he got a blessing from his father and from the brother, but because of deception, he was always troubled. He's always running in a way the sun had set upon his life. He's always afraid. His companion is a stick. If his brother comes to attack him, he wants to hit him back. He's afraid in the night. He cannot sleep. He's running for his life for 20 years. He was with his father-in-law, Laban. And you know what Laban did? Laban deceived him. My brother, you sow whatever you reap. He was working for his father-in-law, wanting to marry Rachel. But after 7 years of hard work, he got Leah as the wife. And the Bible says her eyes were weak. You know why his eyes were weak? Because he deceived his old father, whose eyes was weak. Whatever you sow, you will always reap. And that is why tonight there needs to be a decision within the hearts of God's people. Lord, no matter what I do, I will never deceive somebody. I will be truthful. Hallelujah. I will know your heart and walk with you no matter what. I want the light of God's word to shine upon my life. Amen. Praise the Lord. After nearly 20 years of being deceived and deceiving others, of manipulating and trying to work things in favor for him, he comes to a ford called Jabbok, where an angel of God wrestles with him all night. And the angel of God wrestles with him and begins to ask him, "Jacob, what is your name?" And he says, "My name is Jacob." See, years back, when his father asked him, "What is your name?" he said, "My name is Esau." But when the Heavenly Father finally wrestled with him and asked him, "What is your name?" he had to say the truth. Amen. He had to be honest. He said, "I am Jacob. I am Jacob. I am Jacob." And you know what God said? Hallelujah. He said, "No more shall you be called Jacob, but I will transform you. You shall be called Israel," which means Prince with God. Hallelujah. Amen. And the next verse says the sun arose over him. I was looking through the scripture and I suddenly realized, you know, there are a lot of people, they want to see a sunrise in their life. They don't know why things get from bad to worse to worse, and it just keeps on going in a negative line. They don't understand. But let me tell you something very simple. God is not against you. He is for you. In the fort of Jabbok, Jacob had to realize God was not after him. God was for him. God wanted him blessed. God wanted him to be fruitful. There was nothing that God will hold back from you. If he gave his own son for you, how will he withhold anything else from you? But you don't need to deceive. You just need to be truthful, honest. You just need to let him know who you really are. Praise the Lord. Amen. Matthew chapter 13, verses 44. Say Matthew 13, 44. Say it one more time. Matthew 13, 44. Hallelujah. How many of you it's in the New Testament? Say Matthew 13, 44. Hallelujah. Now let's hope that's the right word. Matthew 13, 44.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field.
Yes.
Which a man found and hid.
Yes, my brother. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man has found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he has and buyeth the field. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure in a field. You know, how many of you know that you can't buy the kingdom of God? I mean, you can't sell everything and get into the kingdom of God. It's by grace that you are being saved. So here, the scripture is actually speaking about Jesus coming down onto the earth and walking about on the field, that's the earth. And he's walking about and he hit against a treasure. And the treasure was you. Praise the Lord. The treasure was you. He looked at the treasure. He liked it so much that he actually went and sold all that he had. He gave up his godliness. He gave up everything to die on the cross of Calvary for your sin. He paid a full price to buy the treasure. Look at the next verse. It says there in the 45th verse, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking godly pearls. And when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. A merchant goes to a shop. He looks after one pearl or the other. Checks it. He tries it on, looks at it, keeps it. Every pearl, he's looking at it. Then he suddenly says, wow, that one there. Beautiful pearl. How much does this cost? How much does this cost? You can't afford it. You have to give up everything. Jesus said, I'll give up everything. He shed his blood to his last drop to buy you. You are the godly pearl. Praise the Lord. He sold everything to buy you. Jacob had to realize at the fort of Jabbok that God is not against him. God is not trying to destroy him. God is actually looking for him to make him realize there's an Israel of God, a prince with God. He's of some value. Praise the Lord. Sometimes people say, Pastor, I don't feel like a godly pearl. I don't feel like a treasure. You know, you don't determine the value. This mic, if somebody says, I'm willing to buy it for $1 million, it means this is valuable. Value is chosen by the price paid for it. Are you with me? Value is chosen by the price paid for it. And Jesus shed his blood. God's holy son, Jesus Christ, gave the greatest price because you are valuable, because he needs you, because he wants you. He bought you with his own blood. Oh, somebody rejoice in the Lord tonight. Somebody rejoice in the Lord tonight.
Luke 23 and verse 44. Jesus on the cross. They spiked him to that cross at about 9 o'clock in the morning. Till about 12 o'clock, everything is fine. But the Bible says from 12 to 3, when the sun should be really shining, the sun began to dim. It was dark in the middle of the day. And on the cross, Jesus, he said in John 19:30, it is finished. The Greek word means tetelestai, which means paid in full. On that cross of Calvary, right in the heat of the day, he allowed a sunset to come, that the sunset in your life might be removed by paying a price for the godly pearl that is you, to buy you because you are a treasure in his sight and because you're valuable unto him. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. That Greek word means paid in full. And Mark 16 and verse 2 says, on the resurrection morning, the sun rose when Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and Jesus Christ had risen. Jesus died not only for your sins, but to remove the darkness in your life. To remove every kind of sunset in your life, that you might have a sunrise in your life and you might be able to follow him for the rest of your life in the light of his gospel. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's close our eyes in prayer this night.